What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Jillian is back on What the Fuck this week. Imagine that. I'm Josh Hadley.
Hey!
With me is...
Jillian, you already introduced me.
Like, yeah, I know, but you need to introduce yourself.
But then why did you introduce me in the first place if you wanted me to introduce myself? You kind of, like, took away my my flair there.
And we're going to be talking about some stuff that's probably going to work everybody up, as we always do.
I think for dumbest thing here, this is the first dumbest thing where it really embodies the name of our show. Like, we've just been getting crazier and crazier stories in the essence of, you know, pretty much where you're just like, really? But this seriously is what the fuck? Like, it's, you
well,
know,
it's technically
it's not,
two things.
I know, I meant as a collective segment.
I'm telling the audience, it's collectively two things, but they're very, not even tangentially related, but, oh my God.
Don't use big words, it confuses me.
Nah, you're way too smart for that.
I am so smart. S-M-R-T.
I mean, my S-M-A-R-T.
My mama learned me how to talk good.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
Whatever. I charge $35. There's a difference.
And you're
you gotta
worth
have quality.
Worth every penny.
It's quality over quantity, damn it.
All right, let's just get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This whole gun scare thing, and this is coming from me, who is anti-gun and pro-gun control, is going too far. A 7-year-old student recently got suspended in Baltimore for chewing his Pop-Tart, and I'm putting this part in quotes, into the shape of a gun. As you and I have both seen, the photos don't look much like a gun, but apparently his teacher thought differently.
No, and it's crazy because... It's not like the kid chewed it into his shape and was going, pew, 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 I shot you, I'm going to kill you. Like that, I could understand being like, all right, your kid is being really inappropriate and, you know, considering the recent events, not a good thing. I could kind of understand it, even though he's 7, that there needs to be some kind of, you know, you don't pretend to shoot your fellow students. And as we talked about in a previous week with the whole pretending to be army man, the kid got suspended for throwing imaginary grenades into a sandbox because he was trying to save the world. So that then isn't really on the scale of repercussion. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. On the lowest scale, I could kind of understand if the kid was pretending to shoot other students that there would be some kind of, not that I even agree with that, but... It's
a little more understandable than this incident.
Right. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say. I was like, I'm not saying that, you know, oh, crack down on kids who are, you know, pretending to do that, but just eating a Pop-Tart, oddly. I mean, it's a square. You take one huge bite into it, and it's going to look like, you know, an abstract gun.
Gun-ish,
and that's what this is.
For lack of a better term, gun-ish.
Yeah, an abstract gun. I'm have an art degree, so I use terms like abstract. Thank you very much.
See, those are those $10 words I was telling you about.
I'm edumacated. I charge $15.50 for my words. Inflation, supply and demand.
And then if that were not stupid enough, a small town in Michigan tried to impound a third grader's homemade cupcakes because they had little plastic figurines of World War II soldiers on them, which had guns.
You know what? They need to ban Toy Story from, like, all the movie rental places because you've got the little toy soldiers in there, the army soldiers.
Yeah. What's going to happen if you bring your Toy Story DVD to school? Is that going to be banned? I mean, I get it. Like I said,
wait,
I am
kids can watch
control.
DVDs at school now? What the crap is this? I couldn't watch movies when I was in school.
It's the new era, Jillian. Everyone's got an iPhone. Everyone can
shouldn't be allowed in school.
That's a whole different topic, though. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. I am pro gun control, and I'm seeing that this zero tolerance in schools shit is just going too far. I mean, it's one thing if a kid brings a gun to school. Fine. It's another thing if a kid brings a pastry to school that he makes into the shape of a gun, on purpose or by accident.
I'm going to get expelled because I brought in flowers and they look like vaginas, and technically they are flower or they are plant vaginas. So I don't think teachers should be allowed to have vaginas on their desk on Valentine's Day when their husband gives them vaginas.
You're a pervert. You know that?
No, it's true. Flowers are the reproductive organs of plants. And then you go into, like, you know, the whole
It's
symbolism.
A total sex pistol.
Ah, I see what you did there.
I'm clever like that.
You know, they went ahead, you used the word impound. Basically, they're like, nope, we're not going to serve the cupcakes. And they called home, and the mom in colorful language was like, then take the soldiers off. And here's the thing on that. You know, first of all, it's kind of weird that you would put soldiers on cupcakes unless it was for Memorial Day. It doesn't really say what it was for. Secondly, you know, I grew up in the days of cops and robbers and all of that jazz, and you have kids being punished for playing Save the World. You know, I mean, it's like, are we never going to have cops in the future because we're just instilling this horrible fear of justice, you know, and imagination? It's just, you know, I understand to the degree of don't pretend to shoot other students. Don't, you know, bring toy guns or whatever. But I'm sorry, people need to get the sticks out of their asses because that's just ridiculous. You know, don't open a history book then because there's lots of violence in there. And I'm sure in the future those will be censored and it's just going to be some weird utopian society where nobody knows our past because it's too violent.
You can't nerf the entire world. I'm sorry.
No, you can't have Nerf guns either because they're still guns and it's violent. You know what? You can still have dodgeball in school where, like, the mean kids aim for other kids' fucking heads and you have to.
And you can break noses and glasses with that, yeah.
Right. Like, there's still dodgeball in schools, but God forbid someone, like, play I'm going to save the world. Like, seriously. Like, if the kids are working together against imaginary bad guys, sweet. They're not trying to fucking kill each other. They're not taking off their belt and beating the other kids with it. And I say that because I saw that when I worked at a school. You know, you've got kids having fun working together and you are reprimanding them for it. And I know we're going kind of extended on here, but this is how many times now we've had, you know, random articles of this shit. And it's ridiculous. There's a difference between.
Here's the thing, Jillian. I don't think we have seen the end of this.
Of
I think this
not.
Is just going
not.
To keep getting worse until even the people who are doing it go, yeah, that actually was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, this Pop-Tart thing, if you guys want to look it up online, like, seriously, it's ridiculous. It doesn't look like, you know, it's not like the kid made a intricate bite pattern and made it look like, you know, a thin gun or anything. It seriously just looks like he went hump, hump, hump in an angle. Again, I can understand to a small degree if he was pretending to shoot other students that they're like, no, you don't do that, versus sitting there with his Pop-Tart and it probably getting ganked out and him getting suspended.
Hey, Jillian, I think I'm going to fire you from this show. Because your Skype photo right now has you with an NES Zapper in your hand, and I find that offensive.
But I need it to go duck hunting and kill ducks, so...
Yeah, because you can't kill that fucking dog!
And shoot cans on Hogan's Alley.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I need it for.
I save women on Hogan's Alley, well, when I don't feel ornery and actually shoot them. But no, I save women from the bad guys, so I'm doing good.
See, there you go. We talked a little bit about before about... Teachers are getting fired for what they're posting on Facebook on their own time and things of this nature.
Babysitters posting pictures
babysitters,
of them, like,
yeah.
Alcohol.
Yeah, but basically the ideal in America nowadays seems to be that certain professions, you don't actually ever have time that is just yours, that you're always in some way representing the company, the employer, the institution, whatever it is.
In some cases, that is true. It really depends. But in this case, which, I mean, actually, that is applicable to our second segment. But in this case, it's a little different.
No, this is only starting with one company so far, but I've heard other companies want to do this. I've read other articles where other companies say they have to try and find a legal way to do it. Basically, Orlando Health in Florida is going to implement a new policy. You will not even be able to smoke on your own time. They will not hire anyone who smokes. They will require
They're actually doing
people.
A test for it.
Yeah, they will actually do nicotine tests on you. They will even fire people or force people that already work for them to either stop smoking and like go into like, I don't know, is there smoking rehab? I don't know if that actually exists, but basically you are not allowed to smoke cigarettes and work for this company. The reason that they are claiming this is it is because of healthcare. That if they are providing healthcare coverage for you as their employee, then you doing something on your own time that pretty much nobody is going to argue will affect your health at some point. They're saying you are damaging yourself and we're going to have to pay for it. Therefore, we get to screen for people who are not going to intentionally damage their health.
Where does that stop, though? I mean, if someone's severely overweight, are you going to say no because you're clearly going to have medical problems and we don't want to pay for it?
Exactly.
Like, okay, I've worked for a health company before, and basically they had incentives to where if you were smoke-free and do physicals and things like that, you got actual bonuses to your money. So it wasn't you can't do that. It was more encouraging you to live a healthier lifestyle with
gently pushing you in that direction.
Right. And then, I mean, of course, and here's one thing, and a lot of people got mad about this, but I completely understood it. Because it was a health company, you could not stand outside and smoke. They're like, you can smoke in your car, or you can go to like the edge of the block, but you cannot stand in front of the building and smoke. That I can understand, and that's a business's prerogative to be like no smoking on the property.
Again, that's applying to the image thing.
Right. And here's the thing, you know, if your stigma is, well, you're hurting your health and we don't want to cover it, then fine. Have that in there to be, you can work here, but we're not providing you health insurance then, and then people aren't going to choose to work there. But firing someone for what they do, it's like you could have a freaking alcoholic who's damaging their liver worse than somebody that smokes once when they're stressed or smokes, you know what I mean? Like you have different levels of smokers. You've got chain smokers, you've got, you know, the occasional or whatever. Which, yeah, it's still bad for you. I'm not saying that, you know, oh, well, they only smoke a little bit, so they're okay. But there are also severe, horrible things that you can do to yourself that is just as bad. I mean, there's people that smoke and live to freaking, like, 97 years old and never have a problem, whereas there's people who don't smoke and they get lung cancer anyway. And before you go and say, well, that's because of all the secondhand smoke, it's like, no, there's smoking is not the only cause of lung cancer. So you've got all of these stigmas like, okay, well, there's the whole like people that think if you have big boobs, you're more prone to breast cancer. So if you are large chested, oh no, we heard that, you know, if you've got big titties, you might get breast cancer. We won't cover that. And it doesn't make sense. You
if
know,
that
I
were
understand.
True, you'd be dead.
I understand that if you're a business, fine, no smoking on the property. You can choose to say no smoke breaks. Some companies are like, okay, well, you get, you know, 2 15-minute breaks, this and that, and do that. You can say, well, no, you just get, you know, your lunch break and then a break to, you know, do whatever, but
coffee.
You know, there's no smoking on the property. Right. So those kind of restraints, completely understandable. Doing testing to see if, you know, you've got the, what is it called, codeine, which is a byproduct of nicotine. And then it's like, where do you go from there? What if you live with somebody that is a habitual smoker? I mean, doesn't your clothes, I'm sure your skin absorbs it to a degree.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to bring up. What about secondhand smoke? You cannot be a smoker and still get, I mean, it's the same thing with, say you live with a pothead and all of a sudden you test positive for drugs when you apply for a job. Do you get arrested because your roommate's a pothead?
You won't get arrested. You just don't get the job. It's not like they call the cops. They can't call the cops on a positive test. It's just you came positive. You like, you know, do that.
But that also brings us to the other thing. The difference between, now I know some states have legalized marijuana, but let's in general just say it's still illegal in most of the country. Cigarettes are not. Tobaccos are
right.
Not illegal. I think it's absolute bullshit that a company can penalize you or choose not to hire you because you use a legal product. But you brought up alcohol. What's next? Are they going to say, oh, You have some brandy after work. Well, we don't want that liver damage, so you can't be here. Oh, you drink Mountain Dew. We don't want someone because of all the sugar in that. We don't want to pay for your dental. Where does it stop?
No caffeine or no McDonald's. It's just, I'm sure companies, if this catches on, which obviously wouldn't be for years to this degree, but the way this country's going, who knows? But I'll bet you anything, it's going to start having weight requirements where it's and I'm not talking about the places where Hooters and all that, where you obviously have to have a certain image, but I just mean a regular place a health company and be like, oh, well, you're 300 pounds. And if people see you coming in here, clearly, we need to represent. It's really, let people fucking live. If you don't want to cover certain things, put in your medical information that it will not cover blah, 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 should you smoke. Now, I know some insurance companies will charge more for your insurance premium if you are a smoker. So that's something
I don't think that's unfair, though. I don't think that's unfair because it's a known health risk.
Right. It's not. I'm saying these are examples of, sane, fair catch-22s to how you want to live your lifestyle. The whole getting fired or not being hired just because you smoke. Also, how often are you going to have to go in for these tests? Because if you test positive, you can reapply in 180 days, which, the job market is so great. I'm sure the job will still be there. So let's say you've been working there for years and then, you pass the test, everything. But then something happens in your life and you take up smoking, whatever happens. It's how are they going to weed those people out? This is going to have to be workers getting regularly tested to make sure they haven't started smoking. And if I'm working at a place, I'm not going to want to be, that would be going into the place and, you don't do drugs, but you have to get drug tested every month. That's a fucking pain in the ass to have to go to a clinic and do all that just so you can have your goddamn job, and it's so asinine. And I understand, and this will go into our other subject, as I mentioned, I understand there are certain jobs that carry with them where you have to watch what you say and watch what you do because you are a public image. I mean, hell, celebrities have to deal with that. If you endorse Coca-Cola, you can't be seen walking around drinking a Pepsi and vice versa because it's all contract because you are.
Yeah, it's actually usually written into the legal wording of it.
Right. So, I mean, things like that, there are certain occupations and situations to where, you need to watch your shit. Having a desk job and being able to smoke afterwards. I mean, obviously, if you were an anti-smoking company where it's you are the face of someone who goes to schools and is don't smoke, kids, smoking is bad. And then kids get out of school and you're smoking in your car. That's something that's a little different. But just having an office job and be nope. You guys can't, smoke on your free time is ridiculous. And I mean, I've said before that, I do smoke. I know it's bad for me. I know the risks, but it's my choice. If you look over at somebody else and they're allowed to make bad choices, whether it be alcohol, obesity. I mean, hell, you have people that are anorexic that are working at jobs, but it's a health company. It's no, it's oh, well, you're underweight. So, that's a problem too, because you're going to have to probably go to the hospital soon. You've got people with mental disorders who will be well, no, where is the confidentiality? It's
there's also another aspect of this. Obviously, as a non-smoker, I don't believe smokers should be a protected class. Okay. Is this not discrimination the same as if this company had said, we don't want anyone who has sickle cell anemia working here, so we will screen for that, that being a primarily African-American-only disease?
Well, it's a little different. I see what you're saying because, I mean, you're getting into a specific, racial disease. I would attribute it more to say somebody being overweight. It's kind of on par for that because it's a choice. You're taking a disease that isn't a choice to something that is, a free choice in your own time. So basically this situation on smoking is more akin as if you weren't, completely healthy. And I mean, I'm not saying that there is anything wrong with being overweight. If that's, your thing, that you eat what you want, that's fine. Live your life. That's good. I mean, it is known that it's not healthy, just as smoking is known that it's not healthy. Those are life.
Drinking is known to not be healthy.
Right, exactly. And I mean, anything in moderation. And I know I brought up weight a lot, and I just want to qualify myself. I'm not saying that, you know, oh, those people should be, you know, out. I'm saying that's how ridiculous it is. And that's how, you know, I understand, like, we have a smoking ban here, and yeah, it's annoying. Like, I understand in restaurants, hospitals, things like that, no smoking. You've got situations of, you know, bars, which was a big, you know, well, I want to drink and I shouldn't be around smokers, things like that. I mean, there's just certain environments, but whatever, we live with it. We smoke outside. And I believe in, what is it, in California, you can't smoke in your car.
There are certain places in California where due to, I think it's some weird city ordinances, you're not allowed to smoke in a parked car on the street and all this. And it's basically our town is smoke free. And again,
right.
Non-smoker saying this, that's bullshit. That's nanny state shit.
And I mean, you know, I try and be considerate. If I'm outside, you know, they have the rule you have to be 15 feet away from the door or whatever it is. But if I'm outside, even at that far, and I see somebody walking up, I'll point my cigarette the other way. I'll wait. I won't take a huff. Like, I will physically move versus I'm here smoking and it goes in your face, especially when I see little kids. Like, I will hide my cigarette. Like, I'll kind of like turn away or whatever. You know,
you're
I'm not just
considerate
I'm
smokers.
A smoker. I am, and I try to be. And there's situations too where, unfortunately, you know, the wind changes, things like that, and you're in a group of people and you're like, oh God, I'm sorry. So, you know, I think there's this big stigma because there's so many laws and ordinances on smokers that they get mad, and it's just like, we're not all like, whatever, I should be able to do, like her, whatever, I do what I want, I'll smoke in your face. Like, no, not everybody's like that, but really look at yourself and say, you know, well, what do I do that isn't exactly healthy? And imagine yourself kind of not being able to get a job or being like persecuted for it, so to say. Not that I say we're being persecuted by these ordinances, but in this situation of this job, they are.
Yeah,
you know?
I think, and this is illegal. I think this is borderline illegal. I think that the reason that they are wrapping it into the whole health insurance thing is so it doesn't come across as illegal, that it comes across as almost fiscally responsible in a weird way.
You know what, then don't have that person covered. You know, it's like, you won't have benefits. Temps don't get benefits, and they work, you know, for the company, and it's just, I don't know, it's really asinine.
After Heart, we'll be back to talk about, well, as Jillian already alluded to, something that kind of is putting a face on what you say and do publicly.
Isaac Hayes and Pam Grier, the perfect match to set the screen on fire. Put them together and watch the sparks fly when Truck Turner meets Foxy Brown. Isaac Hayes is Truck Turner, the last of the bounty hunters.
You gonna bring him out, or do we have to go in and get him?
Pam Grier is Foxy Brown, the meanest chick in town.
You tell me who you want done, and I'll do the hell out of it.
When they get it on, the action takes off. Truck Turner, with music by Isaac Hayes. Foxy Brown, with music by Willie Hutch.
Foxy lady, Foxy lady.
Isaac Hayes and Pam Grier in Truck Turner and Foxy Brown, together on one big show. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
All right, motherfuckers, I am primed and ready to fucking go. I am so goddamn sick about hearing about the new fucking pope. The new fucking pope. You mean for the Satanic Church? Because as far as I know, the last pope resigned because of how many kids they were busy molesting around the whole fucking world. So enough with the fucking pope, and I'm going to go right into, I'm going to do some plug. I want to say hello out there to my friend Dr. Adam Del Torto. We spent all day shooting stuff about his new, he's got a new treatment for if you've had your nose broken, if you've got deviated septum, if you're an MMA fighter who can't breathe out of your nose. He's got a really good treatment that he's doing, and we're making a video about it. And I spent my day interviewing professional fighters. That might be why I'm a little aggressive. But the thing I really want to talk about, besides the plugs and saying hello to Dr. Adam Del Torto, Luca Fisher, who just had a birthday the other day, go out there and buy Masters of Taboo, Cannibalism. I've got a short story in there, and I've also got a bunch of new poetry in the anthology called Men in the Company of Women. Are we done plugging? Can I get into the show now, Josh? What?
Sorry, something just fell behind me. Yes, we can get to the show proper.
Oh, you're not down in your basement dungeon computer, are you?
No, I'm actually upstairs, so I've got the bunny rabbits, and they just knocked like a bowl or something off the top of one of their cages.
I thought you would dig this. You know who Tim Vigil is, right? And Joe Vigil?
I'm not familiar with Joe Vigil. I'm familiar with Tim from the Faust comic and Omega and all that stuff. I grew up reading his comic.
Well, I have signed the scion of Joe Vigil to American Horrors. I signed the paperwork with Jeff Vigil to start bringing his short horror films to American Horrors. We signed paperwork with Annette Martinez. We are bringing back the King Sisters 813 zombie series, and American Horrors is free to watch. I just had to get that plug in there so Charlie could get his drink on right away. And you can watch American Horrors for free at www.filmon.com.
Other than American Horrors, you've got your fingers in all these different pies right now, don't you, man?
Yeah, dude, it's pretty crazy. I got to admit, we've decided that we are going to air the American Horrors Christmas special March 31st, Easter Sunday.
Christmas in March.
Yeah, I'm totally slammed, man. I am going to be in Florida, and hopefully I don't get attacked by these crazy flying mosquitoes you were telling me about. Why don't you tell the people at home? You were saying something about on the Huffington Post, giant mosquitoes are going to be attacking Florida this summer?
Yeah, they're supposedly 20 times the size of a normal mosquito. Their eggs were laid like 5 years ago, and they're due to hatch this year. And it's like some weird convergence of the weather causes them to grow this big, and they're unusually aggressive. And one of them, quote, practically breaks your arm when it attacks you. So it's like
God.
An asylum movie in real life. I can't wait to see the CNN coverage of this shit.
And this is in the Huffington Post?
It's on a whole bunch of different sites, actually. Huffington Post, it's on Russia Today, it's on
wow.
NaturalSociety.com. I mean, it's on some relatively reputable places, so if it is
well,
a hoax,
too early.
It's a good one.
It's too early for April Fool's Day, so hopefully the first weekend of May when I'm at the Mayhem Motorcycle Rally, I won't get eaten alive and carried away by giant mosquitoes.
They also said these mosquitoes are resistant to mosquito repellent. So you
I
might
don't
want
like
to just bring
mosquito
a,
repellent.
You might just want to bring some hairspray and a lighter to make a homemade flamethrower, John dies at the end style, you know?
Jesus, can you imagine one of these things landing on your head and getting caught in your hair?
Or I can't imagine one of these things just landing on your arm. That's bad enough, but yeah, getting caught in your hair or one of them flying into your car while you're driving?
Ay, 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 I tell you. Well, speaking of getting attacked, turns out, folks, that remember when Josh, you and I discussed, in fact, you told me about it. You told me about the old lady and her daughter who got shot up on that Maverick cop hunt, and they shot up her car. They shot, folks at home, the police officers, the LAPD shot up a van full of chicks or a truck full of chicks, and they shot this thing like 100 times.
102.
And they said, oh, 102. And then they said, well, we'll replace truck. We'll take care of it. Well, guess what, folks? The LAPD is not going to give them their truck. You want to know why, Josh?
I know why, so you don't have to tell me. But I also want to point out before you go on, do you know how many officers were involved in those 102 bullets? 18. 18 police officers.
Cops?
18 police officers opened fire on these two old ladies and fired 102 shots. That's into the car. Imagine how many shots they actually fired that didn't
hit
the vehicle.
So, wait a minute. How many times did the girls get hit?
The girls got hit approximately 50 times between the two of them.
Between these two girls, they got shot 50 times and they're still alive? Oh, my God. And so, here's the thing, folks. They won't even give them a replacement truck. Obviously, you know why, but I'm going to tell the people at home why these poor ladies who got shot mistakenly by LAPD, they're supposed to get a truck, right? Well, they're not going to give it to them because they want the victims to pay for the taxes. That's right. The government wants to charge these victims sales tax, all the registration fees for the truck that they're trying to replace that they shot 102 times.
I'm thinking these women need to stop going to the LAPD and start going to their lawyer. Because their lawyer has a major case here. He almost can't lose.
Yeah, I really think that lawyer's got a great case. I mean, did you hear about the dude in New Mexico who was locked in solitary confinement for 2 years and he won a $15 million lawsuit? Guess what? He got locked up and he wasn't even convicted of anything.
That's the way the cops operate now. There was a guy, I think it was in like Nevada or something. I might be wrong on the state. I just read about it today. He called the police when he got robbed. They came in. They saw him holding his gun because he was trying to fend off the robber, and they shot him 17 times. That's the police we're dealing with now. They're not really instilling us with trust and accolades for them, are they right now, Hart?
Well, you know, that's a sad thing, man, because at the end of the day, a police officer has a very, very difficult job. And I've kind of referred to them many times as, you know, they deal with human garbage day in, day out. But they're also the people that are going to be there to help you when you need help. I don't have any problems with cops. I actually like cops. I get along with cops. I got cop friends. I actually have a lot of friends on the force all around the country. And I'll tell you something, these cops don't like what's going on either, man. There's a lot of good guys out there who want to do the right thing. You know, one cop from Philly told me, man, he told me his best day on the force, his most proudest, best day on the force was when he graduated police academy before all the political bullshit started. And this is the kind of thing that I mean. When I grew up watching cop shows, all right? I grew up with Miami Vice. I grew up watching all these different cop shows. And I'm like, yeah, definitely, let's get the bad guy. But I'll tell you, when we were growing up with cop shows, you had a rogue cop, sure, but everybody else was yelling at him, you got to do it by the book. You got to get it done right so you can make a conviction. If you do it illegally, you're not going to make a conviction. You're going to give the guy a get-out-of-jail-free card because you did it wrong. You didn't follow the rules. Because you know what, folks? If you're a police officer, yeah, you need to follow the rules more than anybody else. Does that make your job more difficult? Fuck yeah, it does. But you know what? No one put a gun to your head and made you sign up. You're on the front line to serve us and protect us. And when I've been watching the modern-day cop shows, I watch Criminal Minds. I find it interesting to study these serial killer brains and what pop culture thinks about them. And I'll tell you something, watching shows like Castle or L.A. Law or watching this show Criminal Minds, every episode they break the law. Every episode, they're hacker expert on Criminal Minds. Every other episode is breaking into illegal databases. She's breaking into a sealed juvenile file. She's breaking into people's personal files. She's breaking into people's emails. All of this is being done illegally and presented as, oh, whoop-de-doo, just another day at the office. And that's wrong, man. That's really, really wrong.
It's presented as you have to do, you know, we know this man is guilty. We have to do whatever we can to get him. Law be damned.
And you know what? It's not, it's even more than that. It's this leap to judgment. I feel that way with the Nancy Grace ilk. Because, folks, the police lie to the press. When there's a case happening, even when it goes to trial, not everything about the case comes out. The prosecution is going to present the face of the argument that's best going to get them what they want, the bad guy in jail. Does that necessarily mean the bad guy did anything? Actually, not really.
No,
they're presenting
an
argument.
Conviction.
They want a conviction. They're presenting an argument. Then the people on the defense are going to present an argument on their side. And it's an argument. And either one may leave things out of their argument to bolster their side of the story. Now, when you get the press involved and you get a bunch of people just making up their mind without knowing the whole story, without being there in the jury box, you don't know what the truth is when you read the paper anymore, Josh. I don't know what the truth is. We talked a bit about this. Was his name Dorn? Who was the crazy Dorner, this cop guy that they went ballistic trying to get, and they shot up more civilians than he did.
And they burned him alive.
And then they burned him alive without a conviction, without a trial. I'm not certain he's guilty. I don't believe I was presented anything that's warranted. Oh, you know what? We better burn him alive. I don't know what he did, but I think that guy knew some shit, and they didn't want him to talk. That's what I think.
Okay, it's like a case that happened here in Green Bay. I had to watch it for the TV station. I mean, the live coverage every day I was watching from the courtroom. In my mind, there was no doubt that this man killed this woman, but there was also no doubt that the police framed him. Is it still wrong if you framed a guilty man?
I don't really think that's a good thing, man. My feeling is if you want to get, when it comes to crime, guys, I'm a crime victim. And when my girl was murdered, I wanted them to get the guy who did it, not a guy who fit the bill. I wanted them to catch the guy, the guilty one. I didn't want him to just present anybody. I want him to get the right guy. And that's a big part of what I think is being lost here in the quotas and in the police statistics. It's getting lost, man. I really think the original mission of protecting us, the people, is really getting lost. And we're the ones getting hurt here. We're the ones caught in the crossfire. We're the ones that give them the authority to run around with guns and tell us what to do. That's the way it works in a society. We, as a society, are working with the government and giving them the right to governance. They don't take the right to governance. We, as a people, give them that right. And we demand to be treated better. We demand that our rights are respected. And guys, again, I'm going to say this. I like cops. They've got a rough job. But some things have really gone bad. And I think their way has really, really been lost. And I'm hearing that from my friends on the force. They're not happy either. They're not happy either.
Don't whip me anymore. Please.
They call her Shanty Tramp. Who is she? Where did she come from? How did she get the name of Shanty Tramp? Meet her friends, booted, buckled, and revved for action. Burning the highways with terror, always one step ahead of the fuzz, are the friends of Shanty Tramp. This unusual and abnormal motion picture makes those Swedish movies look like a Sunday school show. From the swamp-infested backwoods of Georgia comes the story of a lust-loving tramp. Born broke, she found a way to make money. She loved them all. That's Shanty Tramp. Teenagers will not be permitted to see Shanty Tramp without the written permission of their parents. Special uniform police will supervise admissions.
All right, Jillian, as you pointed out in the last segment, there are certain occupations where you are the face of your company. You project a certain image, and when you go against that image, it really does hurt the company.
Before we get into it, this actually is really akin, if you remember the show where we talked about cosplayers, and there was the comic artist who wrote that just huge ass, it blew up on Facebook and Twitter,
that
this rant against female
idiot
cosplayers. Yeah, it was just a bunch of unsubstantiated claims, and like it got blown up into this big thing. And he ran into trouble with his company because they're like, well, you represent us and you're dissing a big portion of your audience. And you had other people saying, whatever, you know, it's a personal Facebook, he can say what he wants. And he even came out and said that. It's like, but yeah, you are literally coming out and talking against a portion of your fan base on a biased nature by making vague assumptions and grouping all girls pretty much into, you know, a few bad apples. So that's kind of the same situation of somebody in a public persona that has a business that does something and is getting backlash for their thoughts and what they say.
Well, and it also comes down to there are ramifications for what you say. Now, this is not me advocating, and obviously anyone that knows me knows this, this is not me advocating something like, oh, you need to toe a party line. No, what we're talking about is Orson Scott Card, who has the huge $400 million movie Ender's Game coming out this summer starring Harrison Ford, based on his Ender's novels. And he is a huge homophobe. And I'm not just talking about saying things that would go, okay, he doesn't like gay people. He's given large portions of money to anti-gay causes. He has said that gay marriage is, and I quote here, the end of democracy in America. And he says that, quote, traditional married people will eventually have to overthrow the government. Okay? This is ignorance and stupidity and homophobia on a shocking level to begin with. Okay? So there's already, I believe, without looking it up, I think it's Warner Brothers that made Ender's Game. I might be wrong on that. But they are basically kind of backing away from Orson Scott Card. You'll notice the posters are not Orson Scott Card's Ender's Game. They're kind of leaving his name out of this to try and distance themselves. And now Warner Brothers is in trouble again, because Card, being a huge science fiction writer and having written comics in the past, was set to write a large Superman story arc. Well, the homophobia stuff has really bit him in the ass. The artist that was assigned to him refuses to work with him on this story and has walked off. Retailers, i.e. comic book stores, have said that they would refuse to carry or sell any of the issues that Card's story appears in. And so, of course, he is lashing back out at the homosexual community that they're trying to hurt him.
All right, you do not have to be homosexual to support equal rights. And so if someone is going out publicly and saying their thoughts and saying something disgusts them, it's like, whatever, yeah, free speech, but there's going to be ramifications. You know, this isn't something like through the grapevine, like, oh, I heard my friend told this company or whatever. It's like, you are out there. You are making this known. So people in return can choose and say, you're a fucking asshole. I want nothing to do with you. You know, even us being on this show, if we were to say something that was just like really, really wrong, and it's like, yeah, we're going to get backlash on it. People being like, dude, what's your problem with blankety blank? Like, that's, you know, really bigoted.
People say that about me all the time by about how much I attack Fox News. People say that I'm pushing a liberal agenda or that I'm ignorant. People attack me for those views on that, Jillian.
That's because I'm adorable.
Yeah, you do the same thing, and somehow you come out of this completely squeaky clean, and they attack me for Fox News.
Here's what I think it is. I don't know how many times I've had to play devil's advocate to where I'm like, wait, we don't know because it didn't say. So it's kind of like what at least I say about Fox News is kind of when something is blatantly wrong. Like, I don't know what you're all posting on your Facebook and saying, but that is an example of, yeah, freedom of speech, but you're going to get backlash. Just like fucking laptop dad with the daughter who like went on a rant and he went psycho hose beast and, you know, blew up her laptop with his armor piercing bullets. There are ramifications for whatever you say publicly, even on the smallest scale. So when you're in a position where you're pretty well known and you're coming out and saying things against a certain race, group, sexual orientation, anything, you're going to get backlash by people who believe that is wrong or do not share your beliefs to it. There's a difference of, you know, when I say share your beliefs, you'd be like, oh, well, he's Jewish and I'm not. I mean, when you have a narrow-minded view of this is what I believe and everything else is wrong, that's where you're going to run into issues when you don't have the live and let live situation. Which can also be turned on me and be like, live and let live. We'll let people like say what they want. But it's like, do you see what I'm saying?
Like you said, when you say something publicly and you are a public figure, and yes, Orson Scott Card, even if he had not been a writer before, working for DC Comics, working on Superman, you're a public figure at that point. Look at like what happened to Mel Gibson.
Destroy their careers when they do stuff. Well, the whole Sinead O'Connor thing, tearing up the picture of the Pope, you know, controversy. That was freedom of speech, and it bit her in the ass. Like, people do stuff that are like, this is what I believe in. I'm sticking to my guns. Fine. Believe what you want. Stick to your guns. But realize that there are going to be ramifications for what you do and say, speak out against, support. You've got people that, you know, support equal rights that get a lot of flack from those who don't support equal rights. It's the same, you know, with anything, with abortion. It's like you have both sides of it. If you're going to stand up and speak for your cause and against another cause, there is going to be some kind of response. You're putting yourself out there.
Yeah, and someone like Card, who, like I said, the movie company, let's just say Warner Brothers, since that's the one I think is making it, that optioned his book, which is a trilogy, and they plan to make more. That's a $400 million film, major studio release, countrywide release. His homophobia is going to affect that movie and future movies. There's no way around it. So, I mean, something like this, it will affect. I mean, I think Card, and okay, he's standing by his ideals. He gets a little bit of respect for that. But Orson Scott Card is just tanking his own career. there are publishing companies that don't want to reprint his books, even in the wake of the movie coming, because of this controversy. There are, like I said, when the comic book retailers are saying, I refuse to even stock this issue that he is in, there are already comic retailers that are refusing to stock the Ender's Game adaptation because of this.
Well, I mean, it's like the Rush Limbaugh thing that we talked about forever and a half ago. When he was going on his rants, he was losing sponsors left and right because people didn't want to be associated with him. And that's a great example of a ramification. You know, it's kind of like if I had ads on my site, you know, and then all of a sudden someone took up an ad that was, you know, anti-gay or just, you know, something really extreme or racist or anything, I don't care that that ad is bringing me income. I'm taking it off the site because I don't want to be associated with that. You know, it's like, that's really offensive to me. I don't like shit like that. So to me, that's more important than whatever money I'm going to get from you. And then, you know, going, obviously that's on the reverse because you're talking sponsors versus, you know, getting revenue. It's just, it's an association thing. If someone is that narrow-minded, you know, it's one thing if you're like, well, you know, if you're quiet about it.
But then there's also the fact that the fact that Warner Brothers, like I said, the parent company of DC, that Warner Brothers would even hire him to write Superman, arguably one of the most pure and quote-unquote all-American comic book characters out there, that they would hire him. They seemed somehow genuinely surprised that there was a backlash against the man. Did they not ever read any of the insane rants he's put online?
They may have not. I mean, you never know. Do you know how busy people are? They don't go sitting around and being like, let me just look and see what so-and-so is posting. But when you get a backlash and you get information, as a company to survive, you need to listen to your masses. You know, I don't know how many companies, like even we talked about the gaming rants, you know, on the systems. So that'll be interesting to see what kind of backlash actually occurs from that. And if they, you know, listen to the masses. And of course, it has to be on a severe level to make a change. And that's kind of like whenever people were like, oh, do this. And it's like, yeah, a couple people doing isn't going to do anything. But if everybody really stuck to their guns, it can make a difference on some, you know, sort of scale. So if you have masses being like, no, this is horrible, you know, there's a bazillion people out in Hollywood. You can get someone else at the drop of a hat, and it's no skin off your back as a company. Whereas this person is like, oh, I'm being persecuted. It's like, oh, gee, how does it feel?
If you've ever read any of Card's work, it's all very anti-Nazi, anti-fascism. So it's kind of strangely ironic that he would be such a hard ass about arguably a fascist tactic, isn't it?
And I mean, it's not even really a fascist tactic. It's a matter of image. Hollywood, you know, the movie business, it's image. Like 99% of it is image. That's why we get a lot of crap with people in it who probably shouldn't be in that role. It's all just kind of underhanded, crazy dealings that's just a mess. So if you're going to come out and speak against something and it bites you in the ass, it's going to fucking affect your career because, you know, the companies are going to look out for themselves and they have no loyalty to you. You know, if the masses are saying, fuck no, we're not going to see your movie, this is bullshit, you're going to listen to them. And you know it has to be severe for them to have made this decision.
Yeah,
so that just shows the power of, you know.
The part that actually angers me the most is that Card is portraying himself as the victim in this. That's the part that angers me the most, that he's the victim. That, oh, all of you homos out there got me fired from writing Superman. How dare you? That he's the victim. That's the part that offends me.
I think he's under the impression that only homosexuals support equal rights. I really think that's what he's thinking, since he's blaming, you know, the gay community. I don't think he realizes how many straight people support equal rights, because, you know, there is a mentality, as fucked up as things are, there still is a mentality of live and let live. Not my cup of tea, but go ahead and do, you know, what you want. And they support equal right. Whereas you have narrow-minded, bigoted people that apparently assume that, oh, well, there's backlash at me, so it's just the homosexual community. There's a lot of support outside the gay and lesbian community that I don't think this guy's realizing.
And I actually think, because when he goes on these rants on his website, Card seems genuinely honest about this. I really think he believes he's a victim in this. Mm-hmm. That's kind of offensive to me.
It's just ignorant is what it is. Like, this guy is saying these things and doesn't think anything's wrong with it. Well, I mean, hell, like we talked about before during the election, where I was seeing pictures of like 6 and 7 year old sisters wearing t-shirts, smiling like a regular, you know, picture like your first day of school would be, saying Obama is an N-word, only it being all the way spelled out. I don't like saying that word, but you guys know what I mean. And the kids don't know anything of it. They don't know it's racist. They're like, here, wear this shirt, take a picture, and they post it online. And that is just, you know, the start of what is going to be, you know, a growth into racism. Because then, it is learned. It's not inane behavior. Like, this
right.
behavior
it's not
is
ingrained
passed
into your
down.
DNA. Yeah, it's not ingrained into your DNA. Exactly.
And so
Jillie.
Someone who is that ignorant, you know, and truly believes this, that's why he thinks he's a victim. Because he's like, what is it, you know, going on? And so it's kind of like you've got people that are, the world is flat, the world is round. And it's like, if you truly believe the world is flat, even though everything goes against it, you know, I mean, how many times have we talked about, like, the Republicans and like the changing of things being taught in school when there's plenty of evidence.
We'll be getting back to that in a couple of weeks.
I know we will, but it's segueing into it. But, I mean, it's insane what some of these people still believe.
This is not going to die down. Okay. The DC Comics thing, because comic books, even though they're the geek market is pretty big right now, it's still a relatively niche market, and this didn't hit mainstream media, CNN and all that yet. When Ender's Game comes out this summer and they start ramping up their promotional machine, there's going to be no escaping Card's homophobia. This is all going to come back, and I have a feeling we'll probably be talking about it again come summer, because I'm sure he'll say something dumb when that all starts again too.
I mean,
so
it's just
I don't
a matter...
think this is a dead issue. I think this we're just starting with this idiot, I think.
Right. I mean, like we said, you know, we've talked about teachers, babysitters, you know, getting fired for what you post. And, you know, I know we've had differences in opinion on, you know, what teachers should and should not be seen doing. It's like, I understand certain things on a small degree level. However, you know, you have to, that is even on a more acceptable scale than what this is, because you are a social personality. You know, it's kind of like, all right, let's say a big anime artist went to an anime convention and said, you know, I think cosplayers and furries are stupid. You're going to get a fucking lashback. Like, if you honestly think cosplayers, and if you got something against furries and cosplayers, all right, if you're going to speak out against it, you're going to get your ass beat down by people in that area. As kind of that other article of the guy ranting against, you know, causes. Right. But this is just a good example of, fine, if you want to speak out what you truly believe in, more power to you. Even if you're completely wrong, you're going to have fucking backlash. Even if you're completely right and you are stating fact, you still have those people that, you know, believe everything despite what the evidence is there. And they backlash even though you've got a mountain of proof on your side. Like, everything is just a mess.
Well, we have run out of time, unfortunately. But since you are back, remind people where they can find you.
You can find me at Facebook, Twitter. I am The Mistress J. I am also featured on thecinemasnob.com here and there, as well as occasionally popping in on Geek Juice Media.
Speaking of Geek Juice Media, I can be found at Geek Juice Media as well. Plus,
they don't want to find you there. They want to find me there.
That I don't blame them. You can also find me at 1201beyond.com, where the links work, by the way. And you can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Good night.
Good night.